I got a good song for you, and it'll come up on the screen. It'll wake you up for sure.
Yes, but you reveal your glory to us, Lord, and let it cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Let me be an instrument to exalt and to extend Jesus' name globally.
Praise the Lord. And you know that's going to happen one of these days. I mean, I don't really believe it's happening today. The earth is in such a turmoil. But God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this day, Lord, for what you have done. We appreciate you, Lord, and we love you. And we call upon you this wonderful day, Lord, to come and set and take presence of our praise and of our worship. Be here today, Lord. Help the service, O God. Anoint the music, O God. Anoint the singing, O God. Anoint, Lord, the message. I pray this in your mighty name. Let's sing. Yes, Lord.
A banner, oh, my Lord. dear God. And with this we have unashamed love.
Spirit, caress, hold me tight, don't regret. hold me tight, don't regret. I want more and more of your presence.
Lift your hands. Right,
we need
now.
You, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we need you, Lord, right now.
Oh God, guide us.
We need
Lord,
your presence and your love and your
Jesus
understanding,
name.
Oh God. And Lord, I do call on you and thank you, God, for all that you do. I cannot go any farther until I give you praise and thanks. That's what worship's all about, is giving you praise and thanking you for what you do for us. Daily, Lord, you do this.
Yes, Lord. Daily you give
we
to
walk.
Us, Lord.
Daily
we, thank
we
you,
talk.
Lord. We're so
Lord,
thankful,
thank
Jesus.
You, God. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We
say it today
Father
with me.
God.
Thank
we
you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, I do have petitions yes. for you this morning. Jesus. I do continue to pray, Lord Jesus, for this family, Lord. The mother, wife, Lord's in the rehabilitation center. Husband's passed. Children, Lord, must be really rough on them right now. So I pray, God, that you will search them out, Lord, and give them the peace that they so need in you. Give the mother peace, Lord. Help her to understand, Lord, that you are the answer, Lord. That you do things on your will, not ours. Sometimes we question that, Lord. But God, I just give you, Lord, the praise. And pray, God, that you help this family, Lord. And all those, oh God, today being Father's Day, Lord, that have fathers or that are fatherless, oh God, that you will be with them. Protect them, oh God. Encourage them, because you are. If we do not have any other Father, we have you. Father, Father of God in heaven. As the Scripture says, Abba, Father, I do believe, Lord, we might have no father. We might have dysfunctional fathers, Lord, but we can call upon Abba, Father, to give us the encouragement we need, the faith we need. I pray for this nation, O God, that needs to come under your control one more time, O Lord, as we draw to an end of this season and we draw closer to your return. God, help us to honor you. Help this nation to become the mighty nation under God once again. Get our military back into control. Get our nation and our politicians back under your realm, Lord. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. I want to distribute this around the room because you'll get to see how handsome this how beautiful this lady is. Forget the handsomeness of the guy. Although he is pretty handsome in this. He's kind of lost it a little bit in certain places. But this is when we pastored Ronnerville Assembly. So, pass it on. My daughter found that. I couldn't even remember. She says we have it. and I don't know. I really think so. Might have been. Actually, they had to paint the color in. Right? Watercolor painted back in. Paint by the numbers.
We got a new sign.
That was our new sign that we just got at Ronnerville Assembly, and we took a picture outside the sign. So,
like 80 or
well, I don't know. Well, let's put it this way. A.A. No, who? Or Jimmy Swaggart spoke at that church. So it's got some, it's definitely got history. It's definitely got history. You know, but it, oh. You know, I just found, and I didn't even know this, but I told you earlier this morning, 60th means diamond. So you're beyond the diamond, so you're not in a rough anymore. So, praise the Lord. Okay? So, yes, hallelujah. Yeah, we're getting close. We got 3 years left. You know? Five? We've been married. What's today, though? Man, I've been saying 47. It's been so long, I've forgotten the years. I know the date. It's just the year that messes me up. Thank you, ladies. All the ladies know it. It's just us men, you know. You know, we just got to remember the date, right? That day is all we got to remember. Not the year, just the day. So, as all of you know, we have a guest speaker next Sunday. And we'll be here for that, but we chose that just the prep time is very difficult when I'm working, much less when we're just coming back off vacation. So we'll have a guest speaker. She was with us at Valentine's banquet when Pastor Wanda was still alive. So we'll find out. She's excited. She's excited to come. She is one of the pastoral staff on Pastor Angelo's church downtown. And when we were talking, Pastor Angelo and myself, he said, well, anytime you need any help, and I called him on it right then. Well, you know, I'm going on vacation. I could handle that help. So he did. He pulled through for me. So with that all being said, we need to take up our offering. And then I have something, a couple of things special, and get into the message. You'll see where our offering is kind of setting at. I did drop us down quite a bit in our offering, and I'll kind of review it again about the middle of July to kind of see where we're at. I don't know exactly with finances where it's going to go, but as it goes, then we'll take care of it. I would like Caitlin, my lovely granddaughter, to come forward. She looks so pretty today. Hold that. No, don't go until I pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day and all that you do. Your love and your concern for all of us, Lord. I pray for our tithes and our offerings, O God, that you continue to bless this church, that I know that you do and know that you will. Lord, in your mighty name, let the blessings flow. Those that give, let the blessings flow. Those that are unable, you'll put a very special blessing upon them so that they can give. Thank you, Lord. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Okay. If you're ready for it, I'm ready for it. Father's Day. Dads. If you're able to stand, please stand as we honor you and celebrate you for being heroes God created you to be. You serve. You provide. You protect. You discipline. You comfort. You care. You give. You encourage. You lead. You love. Thank you. Happy, happy, happy Father's Day. And I'd like our two youngest, my grandchildren, to come forward. Well, no, not the youngest. I got a new one, but I don't think he's old enough to do this. These gifts, or he can come up here. I don't know if he'll be able to. We'll try it. Come on. Oh, you're going to give me... We're trading. I'll give you pinky if you give me this. Okay, you ready? Father, you know the fathers. Okay? You know the fathers. I don't know if... Here, you go give this to your dad. Go give it to your dad. There you go. Yo. Off. Okay. Thank you. Sharon picked that out. We were trying to figure out what to give for our fathers.
I was trying to give them
mugs and other things, so I figured these are that's the best tool. Well, the little one's a better one because it will take years and years to cut.
I like the way you think.
Yeah, years to cut with that scissor. Except, well, wait a minute. You got side. You got, now, Roland's the one that's going to have a problem with a comb. Yeah, there you go. Well, I have some of the little things for Father's Day. Men don't always say what they mean. Ladies, please allow me to translate for you your future benefit. When a man says it won't take too long to explain, he really means I have no idea how it works. Hi, Will. When a man says, take a break, honey, you are working too hard, what he really means, I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says, that's interesting, dear, he really means, are you still talking? When a man says, can I help with dinner? What he means is, why isn't it ready yet? When a man says, sure, honey. Oh, yes, dear. He means absolutely nothing. It's a conditioned response. When a man says, oh, don't fuss. I just cut myself. It's no big deal. What he really means, I have probably severed a limb, but I will bleed to death before I admit it. I'm hurt. So get over here and help me. When a man says, you look terrific, he really means, oh, please don't try on one more outfit. We're late. And I'm starving. I don't think any of us men, you know. When a man says, I'm not lost. I know exactly where we are. What he really means is, no one will ever see us alive again. When a man says, I don't remember saying that. It's because he means, anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. When a man says, that's not what I meant, he means, if something I said can be interpreted two ways, the one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. Thank God for good men he sent to us here today. I liked that. It was kind of cute. I am not doing a Father's Day message today, so I thought giving you some Father's Day explanations on what we say and what we really mean. So next time one of your fathers or your granddaddy says something, you can be interpreted two ways, or it can be whatever he means. So, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to be continuing my faith series, and it's called Faith and Pleasing God. What does it take to please God? faith and pleasing God. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And let me read it to you. It should come up on the screen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently... Maybe I ought to say that again. Diligently. What does that word diligent mean? Everything that you have within you. Persistent. Always working and doing what you need to do to be what God wants you to be. Amen? Amen. You know, if you think about that, and we're talking about pleasing God, how can we please God? Now, let me give you an example of what our world's all about today. Okay? These are genuine complaints received by Britain travel operators. No one told us there would be fish in the sea. The children were startled. I don't understand that. Anytime you go to the sea, if you go in the sea, you're going to find fish. Okay? Now, these are actual complaints by travelers to the travel agency. We booked an excursion to the water park, but no one told us we had to bring our swimming costumes and towels. We found the sand was not like the sand in your brochure. Your brochure shows the sand as yellow, but it was white. And finally, from a holiday vacationer in Spain. Where did they go now? Spain, right? Does everybody understand? Spain is Spanish, right? Here we go. This is their complaint. There were too many Spanish people. The receptionist spoke Spanish. The food was Spanish. There were too many foreigners. Give me a break. Where did they go? Spain. Some people are hard to please. They are. Some people are just hard to please. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, they will always be dissatisfied. Whatever they buy, wherever they go, there is always something that's just not right. You know the saying, you can't please all the people all the time? Let me add a little amendment to that. You can't please some people any of the time. Isn't that true? What about God? Now let's take an analogy on God. What's he like to please? These verses in Hebrews 11 are about pleasing God. Paul has already used Abel as an example, how he uses Enoch. Unique to that, only that he and Elijah never saw death. Do you understand that? They show us the way to please and to walk with God. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, a couple of thoughts this morning on pleasing God. To please God, faith is the way to please Him. Faith. Faith in God is the way to please Him. Let's think about it. How do you please someone who is actually, genuinely perfect? 100% perfect. He knows everything, sees everything, and can do anything. Add to that, he's morally perfect. Morally perfect. Pleasing God could be very tricky. Very tricky. When it comes to pleasing God, some people are like the little sparrow. Here was a little sparrow, okay, lying on his back with his scrawny legs thrust upward. When asked why he was lying on his back with his legs pointed toward the sky, he said that he had heard a rumor. The sky was going to fall. And because the sky was going to fall, he felt the only thing he knew how to do was put his legs up so he could catch it. Well, they said, do you really think that you can catch that sky with your scrawny little legs? He says, well, you got to do what you got to do the best you can. You know, and that is so true. You got to do what you got to do. And that is the approach many of us have with God. We think that God will do the best that we can. Let me say this. It is impossible, impossible to please God. Without faith. The faith of the book of Hebrews is talking about faith that not only believes that God exists, but it is a specific faith that in God who has revealed himself to us. This is the God that who has revealed himself to us. This is the faith that Hebrews is talking about. A faith to believe in Him when everything else is going wrong. A faith to believe in Him when all things that you're doing seem to go wrong. That's faith in God. Hebrews is talking about that type of faith. Faith to please God. Now I want to go a step further on this. The book of Hebrews talks about faith and focus. Did those people have focus in God? They focused, right? They knew that if they focused in God and focused on Him and focused on His Word, that everything would work out. Okay? Even though they had problems back then. Okay? You know, they were martyred back then. We don't see that today. If you were put to a lion's den today, I'm wondering where our faith would really be. Mm-hmm. If you were put out in I'm trying to think what they did back then. Well, when they had the Roman soldiers had their games that they did. Thank you. But Christians were put in the Colosseum as martyrs. You know, you were sitting out there in the Colosseum in the front of all these people. Either you denied God and denied Christ, or obviously you know what the outcome would come. See, you understand. They had to focus. And it's very difficult to focus when you're in the midst of lions. It's very difficult to focus when there's soldiers, you know, coming at you with spears, knives, you know. It's very hard to focus. But they were focused. They knew where their reward was. They were focused. Let me give you another one about being focused. It is believing God will deliver us on His promises. It is an eager anticipation and hope. Faith is about focus. If we go into Matthew, and I don't need you to go there, but in Matthew it talks about a story of Jesus on the boat. Jesus was not on the boat, but the disciples were on the boat. They're in the middle of the ocean. The ocean is waving around, and all of a sudden they see someone coming out on the water. Now, first off, they thought it was a ghost. They got a little scared. But then they realized this was Jesus coming. Out of the 12 disciples, only one stood up and had his faith and focus at that time geared on God. And he says, Jesus, if this is you, allow me, or bid me, in the King James Version says, bid me to come to you. Okay? Well, Jesus said, fine, come on. You know, keep your focus, come on. He was able, now this is what I'm talking about, and it can, what Peter did then, you can do if your focus is correct on God. Because God said he could. You can do anything if your focus and your faith is on him. He had the faith and the focus to do what Jesus told him to do. Well, then get out of that boat and come and walk to me. So, Peter didn't think twice. Focused on God. He got out of that boat and started walking to Jesus. His focus was on him, but something happened. Something, the storms of life got in the way. And he started looking. When you take and start looking aside, your focus straight, you lose the focus in God. He lost his focus in God. When he lost his focus in God, he started what? He started to sink. I don't know if any of you have been in that direction, but I know I have. You know, I've lost my focus a few times. And do I sink? Very much. I got a lot of weight on me. I can sink faster than the rest of you. But yes, if you lose your focus in God, you will sink. And it luckily, and I'm telling you this because it will happen in your life. It will happen in your life. When you get to that point where you are sinking and you feel that, you've lost that focus, at least you have, and you know you have someone you can call on. That doesn't mean call on Jerry, your pastor. Doesn't mean call on Sharon, although I'm there, you know. But you can call on Jesus. Peter knew where his salvation was. He called on the Lord, and the Lord lifted him up. And I do like his next statement. Oh, you of little faith. And that's exactly right. See, but he said that one statement, and then he went on and took care of the situation. See, he didn't get on him. He didn't get mad at him. He said, oh, you a little faith. And that was it. That was it. But then he still comforted Peter. See, that's what the good Lord does. When you make a mistake, when our faith is down, you make a mistake, he's always, always there. Always there. I always say, as God rubs off on us, we will know his peace, his joy, his presence. We'll always know that. Faith is rewarding. Verse 6 tells us that earnest seeking leads to a reward. I think Paul is talking about faith and maintaining our focus on God. The faith and the focus is the way to receive a reward. It's not disappointed. It leads to a walk with God where we know his presence. We know his peace. We know where we receive what God has promised. He is there. And I like Psalms 23 because it's true. He is there. I say when you get to that point in life and things aren't going right, switch over to Psalms 23 and read that. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? For he is with me. He is, no matter what we go through. But it takes faith. The reward is discovering what God can do in our daily lives. Enoch's reward was that he took him, translated him before death. Do you understand that? He took him before he died. Ultimately, like Enoch, we get to go to heaven. We get to go to heaven. Okay? We know Jesus is coming back. Those who are alive at his return will not see death, but will be caught up. Those who die in the meantime go straight into his presence. I love that. There was this missionary returning from a life of service on the mission field in the harsh circumstances of life. When he arrived home in America, there was a big celebration. Crowds cheering. He thought, you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have. It turns out they hadn't. No one person was waiting for him and his wife. The crowds were there for the president, who had been on a hunting trip. Despondent, he thought, at least there could have been someone to greet us or put us up for the night when we got home. But then God spoke. You're not home yet. God has a reward for us. We're not home yet. But when we get there, what a glorious scene that will be. You know, and what I enjoy most about my job is when I'm talking to my patients that are transitioning, and I know they love the Lord. The family might have some fear in them. Even the patient might have fear of death in them. And I would bring back and encourage them. And I'll talk to them. I says, I know your time is short here, but understand, you're only here for a while. We all die. We all die. And you're just about ready to close those eyes of yours to this world and open your eyes to something you can't even imagine. Then I say, you know the story, I can only imagine. Many of us, we can only imagine. I said that to one of my patients Friday. He had the Bible in his hand. And we were talking. I said, you know, there's a song, I Can Only Imagine. And I said, you're going to get to see it. It's closer now than it was yesterday, and it'll be even closer tomorrow. But when the good Lord comes, he's going to take you from this earth. And I believe he'll come with his own hand. You'll close your eyes to this world, and he'll pick you up and take you home. I had a great example of that with one of our patients that he lived alone for so long. He was progressively declining. And finally, we were able to get him into a facility. We got him in the facility, and he ate a great breakfast that morning. Great breakfast. Went back to his room and told the nurse, can you get my pills for me this, my afternoon pills or morning pills or whatever. She went to go get his morning pills, and she came back. He was on the seat, said, and was gone. And one thing he would always tell me, because he had a picture of Jesus right behind his bed, he said, that's my friend. That's my friend. Well, you know what? He's with his friend. Those are the good ones. I will tell you I've had some bad ones too. You know, but that one was a good one. There's a few good ones out there. You know, and when I pray for them, I pray that God will help them in any mistakes that they've made in life, to correct those. And only God and that person. I've had those that are in their transitioning time that they're in a semi-comatose zone. And you know what? You still hear. I had one that when I was praying for them and I prayed, I said, if there's anything wrong in your life, I want to pray, God, remove that right now. And I prayed a semi-sinner's prayer with him. He couldn't answer me. But do you know that I was holding his hand, and he squeezed. This is semi-comatose. He squeezed my hand. An acceptance. I believe Within 2 hours, he had passed and went on to be with the Lord. Do you understand? These are the things that God does. What we need to understand today is to keep our focus on God. Trust him and make God our goal. That way we please God. How many want to please God? Okay. Well, God doesn't say you need faith and all these works. Those works are good. Those are outcome of your faith. But they're not going to get you to heaven. And they're not truly going to please God. What is going to please God is your faith and your focus on him. When you have your focus on him, the storms of life that you will go through, you will go through storms of life. But those storms of life, you'll make it through because you've kept your focus. It's like a horse, and Gloriana will relate to this. If you have a horse that's kind of a problem horse, she has no problem horses. But if you want to keep that horse's attention, then you put blinders on them, right? Gloria, is that right? Race horses, you put blinders on them or something. And I think you can even do that to some horses on trail riding a lot of times, you know, or whatever. It's a way to keep that horse focused. I think we need people horses. People blinders. We need sometimes, because the storms of life come, right? And when the storms of life come, we need to keep focused. We will start seeing all kinds of other things around you, and we lose that focus. If we understand, God has it all in control. God has everything in control. Why worry? First of all, worrying is not going to solve the problem. It'll actually make the problem worse. So why worry? Get your focus on God and start praying to him. And when you feel that adversity coming, when you feel that problem coming, when you are focused, you'll start praying. You'll feel it, you'll pray. Because you'll know, whoa, this isn't right. Something's not right. You know why? Because Slewfoot, the old devil, wants to take your focus and widen it. So you start looking. Oh my goodness. There's so many things going on, you know? Well, yes, that's the world we live in. There's so many things that go on that can cause you to lose your focus. You want to please God, keep your focus untuned on him. And by pleasing God, he automatically says, oh, my child, I love you so much. I'll take you through this situation. If I have to pick you up, the footprints, how many got a... got a picture of it, or got a, you know, footprints. You know how that works. You see two sets, all of a sudden you see one set. Well, that's not you carrying Jesus, by the way. He's carrying you. Footprints. He'll see you through no matter what you go through. Keep your focus on him. So where's your focus today? Where's your faith? Are you walking on water during the storm of life that hits you? Are you feeling like Peter about to sink? Cry out to God today, and he will reach out and grab you, and he will hold you. Jesus will teach us the faith we need to keep the focus we need in God. Jesus will teach you. Yes. Bow your heads today. Close your eyes. I know, Lord, sometimes we do lose focus. Sometimes we do go through struggles. Sometimes things happen. Things happen. Life happens. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that give the excuse why they don't love you, Lord, you know, or why they have this problem. I put that they just lost focus. And because they lost focus, oh God, they've let the cares of the world grab them. They let things, and they're drowning and don't even understand why. They've lost their focus. I pray, Lord, those that have realized See, that's what Peter did, oh God. He realized that he had lost focus, and he cried out to you, help these people realize that they lost their focus in you. Cry out to you, God. And I know, Lord, that you'll pick them up. You'll hug them. You'll forgive them, and you'll bring them back into the focus they need. You are the teacher of focus. You will teach us how to stay focused in our walk with you. Help us, O Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray for each and every one, Lord, this day. If you're having a problem staying focused, I just want you to lift your hand right now. I mean, even me, I'll lift my hand. Sometimes I have a little struggle being focused and staying focused on God. There's too many things in this world that can take our focus away from Him. Lord, you see these hands. You see where we're at. And I pray, Lord, keep us focused in you. No matter what we go through, keep us focused in you. Lord, be with us this week, Lord, because I know this week is going to present concerns and problems, things, oh Lord, that are going to try to take our focus away from you. But I do pray, God, help us keep our focus on you. Keep our focus on you. Lord, and when we do that, we can ask you anything, and you're there to reward and answer. So if our focus on you, we'll learn how to ask the right way. If our focus is on you, we'll learn how to ask God. We'll ask in your will and not our will. I pray this in your mighty name. Let this week be a glorious week, a powerful week in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do not forget, there is no prayer meeting this week because we'll be gone.